Hey everybody, this is Senior Pastor Joshua B. Carson saying thank you for tuning into the CT Podcast. We hope that your time here, whether you're driving down the road or whether you're sitting at home with a journal and listening in, we hope that it's effective. Maybe it'll be inspirational, encouraging, maybe it'll be thought-provoking. Regardless of what session you're listening to, we truly pray that this is a benefit to you and to your family. God bless and enjoy the podcast. I turn your attention today to the book of Jude. I echo and say again my thanksgiving to all who are here in our service. If you are a visitor, we sure hope that you feel at home to worship the Lord. This is not our house, this is God's house. And we want Him to feel at home first, but we want every other person to feel at home as well. And the greatest way to feel at home in this house is to worship the God of the house. This is His house. Thank you to those who have participated behind the scenes and in public, from the parking lot to the platform, in classrooms and in prayer meetings, from those who have been here singing aloud and to the intercessors who behind the scenes have been prayerfully contending for the souls of this service. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Our assignment today is very clear from the book of Jude, and I have asked God to help me to articulate with wisdom and clarity today, but we need the anointing of God to help us. And this word is anointed, but we need our ears to be anointed to receive and to hear, and our minds to comprehend, and our hearts to be as good ground that might allow the seed of His word to grow and produce. If you're not sure how to find Jude, go to Revelation and turn left. It's a little book. It's a single chapter letter. If someone says, turn to Jude, and you say, which chapter? You're telling on yourself. It's just the one, the way that chapters have been distinguished. I would read in your hearing here today, verses 20 through 25. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. God gave me a clear assignment today about intercession, prayer, standing in the gap for others. Maybe some of the most terrible words of Scripture are when it references that He sought for an intercessor. He sought. I don't want it to ever be said about we as a church or as a body of believers that He was looking for an intercessor but could not find one among us. Keep yourselves, verse 21 says, in the love of God, for intercession and love work together. Praying in the Holy Ghost works with love. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If you want everyone to be saved, say amen. Amen. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be what, Jude? Be glory and majesty dominion and power. Let it be now, but let it be evermore. Amen. So be it. My title is going to sound a little silly, but I want you to be able to remember it in this upcoming week when the Lord calls on you. I want to preach about a Bambi bucket. A Bambi bucket. This is the ministry God has for us right now, for all that are willing. Lord, we love you and we thank you in this house. I pray that you'd help us. Help me to preach what you've given me for the body. I don't want to just give a sermon. You know that. I don't think I have one. I do want to minister. I want to minister what you've given me to these precious people that have taken time to be in your house. These are your people. They love you. They want to serve you. So help us, we ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let everybody say amen. Now to those that are willing and able on any level, I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to smile so big they see every tooth you own legally. And I want you to tell them you got some kind of a Bambi ministry. As you're being seated, I will let you know I'm not talking about the little deer. Although there may be some hunters in the room that think that is your ministry. That is not what I'm talking about here today. His name, Don Arney. In 1982, Don Arney developed a contraption that we more regularly might call the helicopter bucket or the water bucket. Many of us have seen it, but it's actually the Bambi bucket. It was developed for the fighting of forest fires, wildfires that were out of control. Most of us, regardless of living here in the Midwest, we are very aware. And there is sensitivity to this topic. So although I have felt compelled even in prayer to use it as an illustration, I recognize the sensitivity both in this house and to those that may watch online whose lives either personally or family or friends have been affected by the devastation of fires that run rampant. And so I don't use this as a casual illustration, but I will tell you the illustration I'm using today is what I saw in prayer for God to show us in this hour what He is trying to do through our church. And so I would submit to you that wildfires, whether they be started because of someone's negligence, maybe a campfire that was not completely snuffed out, a wayward cigarette that was left unattended to. Maybe it was not the negligence of people. Maybe just the environmental conditions were right. The rain had held off for too long. The dryness of the area. And maybe just the right spark at the right time, something on the surface started a fire that was devastating. It was a few years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to be ministering in Brazil. And while we were there in Brazil, I will never forget, we were traveling down the road. And as we were traveling down the road to minister in the next village off out the left side windows there, the entire mountainside in the distance was ablaze. The missionaries, we said, "Don't you recognize that's on fire?" But they had become so accustomed to the wildfire that there was no grave concern to them. It was just something that had become normative. This designed bucket has been developed in such a way and called the Bambi bucket for a reason. The development of it, there is even videos you can watch where the developer is taking an axe to the side of the bucket, but because of the material and its resilience, it it doesn't stay hardened. It just folds in with the material. It was designed so that when lowered, if it would catch on a rock or it would catch on a tree stump, it would not be able to tear its exterior. Through adversity, it is meant to minister directly or administer directly against the fire that is imposing. You might say, well, what is the big deal about the wildfire? Is it the natural resource? Certainly, we don't want to lose the timber, but something that is so grave and deadly is what might be in the path of the fire if not quenched. That's the sensitivity of the topic. Homes and lives that have been lost to wildfires out of control. I want you to turn your attention to the screen. I want you to see not an ocean and not a lake, but a residential pool. It's being dropped down in. Now, I need you to know nobody asked their permission. Nobody waited on a letter to come back from the homeowners. Can we use some of your reserve? Because what good is a pool if the house is gone? I want to ask you a question before I start preaching. What good is the power of the Holy Ghost if we're not allowing Him to use us? It is in the book of Jude. Who is Jude and why are we reading this book or this letter? Jude, most agree, being in his opening the brother of James, the servant of Christ, most agree him to be the half-brother of Jesus. The half-brother of Jesus, and according to John, in his gospel, he tells us that during the ministry of Christ, his brothers are not believers. For we know that even Jesus would let it be clearly declared that a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. That those closest to him, including his own brothers, were not believers. But how many, knowing your Bible, know that there was a transformation that took place in the life of even his own immediate family? For we also are able to read that after the resurrection of Jesus, even his brothers become great followers. For 1 Corinthians 9 tells us that his brethren are well known amongst the early church. And in Acts, the first chapter, hey, listen, go proof text me later. Listen for a second here. I want to help somebody. In Acts chapter 1, it tells us that they were there at the prayer for the Holy Ghost, okay? So we have his brethren who were not believers before the resurrection that become believers greatly after the resurrection. So, Pastor Carson, what was the difference? I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. The resurrection. It was the resurrection. And I want to tell everybody in this building, the reason we gather in this house is because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For with his resurrection, he so did prove he was not just any prophet. He was not just any preacher. He was, in fact, when he had said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days it will be resurrected, he was not talking about the physical temple there at Jerusalem. No, he was saying this body might be beaten and it might be placed into the tomb, but there will be, after a 3-day hiatus, there will be a resurrection power that will come to be known. And even those who did not believe, regardless of whether the Sadducees believe in resurrection or not, Paul would take the power of the resurrection and he would stand before governors and he would stand before priests and he would stand before those that would be the magistrates and he would preach the power of the resurrection. Because it's one thing to hear about the resurrection, it's another thing to experience the resurrection. The reason that we walk into our church and we act the way we do is we have not just heard about the resurrection, we have experienced experienced the resurrection. We have more than heard Bible stories or Sunday school lessons about the resurrection, but we are, in fact, partakers of the resurrection. We learned that the wages of sin are death, but there is this gift of God that is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so the reason that we walk in here on a Sunday morning and act the way we act and sing the way we sing and clap the way we clap, why would it happen that during our worship service, when they're singing about God having good plans, why would people seemingly spontaneously just move out of their pews and walk down aisles with their hands being moving and their mouths open and praise coming out? I'll tell you why. It's because we are people that are participants in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't believe we serve a dead God. We don't believe that we serve a tomb-dwelling Christ. We believe that we serve one who has the power of death and life, and he's taken. It's the power of the resurrection. And we were dead in our sins, and we were dead in our trespasses, but because of the power of the resurrection, we walk different than we would be walking, and we talk different than we could be talking, and we live different than we would be living. It's not the power of our own identity. It's his identity reflected through us. It is the power, Sister Mast, of the resurrection. That's why we even look forward in hope that there will be a day when the dead in Christ. We are not apologetic about this, that the dead in Christ will rise. There is a day because he has power over death. He said, I am the resurrection. How many know when they were upset about Lazarus being dead? His sister said unto him, we know one day he will rise in the last day at the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. I have it. And so when we walk in this house and we sing unto him, we sing in accompaniment with the power of the resurrection. I could be dead and in my grave, but I'm a part of the resurrection power. I could be cussing or... I know me. I would be a miserable sinner. I would be a miserable sinner. You'd be a, wouldn't you? I heard you say me too. You'd probably be a billionaire, but you'd be a miserable sinner. But the power of the resurrection, that's why we believe in death, burial, resurrection. We die in our repentance. We're buried with him in baptism, and we believe in the newness of walking in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you are filled with that very same Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that it dwell in you also. I wish I could preach it like I felt it. When we are full of the resurrection power, we are not apathetic about the things of God. We do not feel like the presence of God is negligible. It changes everything about us. It's the power of the resurrection. And Jude takes it upon himself, having been able to bear witness to the power of the resurrection. Most theologians seem to agree it's not the letter he wanted to write, it's the letter he had to write. And in this, he begins to write, and our text tells us about praying in the Holy Ghost. And it works down through this. Others with fear, pulling them from the fire. When I was praying, I thought about titling this message, I Smell Smoke. Because of the intense waywardness and the intense affliction against our city and our homes and our families. That lake of fire is trying to immaturely begin to move its way into our families, our relationships, and God forbid, surround the perimeter of our church. Have good church, but your neighborhood can't be reached. Have good church, but marriages can't be put back together. Have good church, but addictions can't be broken anymore. Have good church. Celebrate who he was. That's not how resurrection works. But this was happening. And Jude, with the power of pen under the anointing of the Spirit of God, he begins to write about these wayward believers that are creeping in. It's false doctrine that is trying to move in amongst this church. And we don't have clarity on the church, but we have clarity on the language. And when he writes this, he reaches all the way back and he begins to look at the waywardness of Israel. And then he talks about that story of Abraham and his intercession, if you please, about Sodom and Gomorrah, where he begins to seek God that he might stand between God and the people of the city. If he could find some individual. I know there is unrighteousness, but he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, and then he gives the illustrative truth about that story in Genesis of the angels, the sons of God, as it is debated about how they came down, and there was lasciviousness, and there was perversion, and people love to argue and debate about the how and the why and the what, and that's not the purpose of this message. But Jude, under the inspiration, reached back to three illustrative stories from the Old Testament, from seemingly the very beginning of time and humanity, and his point was this: there has always been an attack against God's will. But he wrote to tell them, Brother Barkus, through it all, there have been people who said, in spite of the affliction, in spite of the perversion, in spite of the false doctrine, in spite of the lasciviousness, in spite of the fire that's trying to destroy the will of God, there have always been people that have said, we will see the will of God. We will be an intercessor on behalf of the will of God. Were cities destroyed? Did perversion run rampant? Were people lost? Absolutely, there was. But you read this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you're going to find that there were people in the midst and the middle of it all that said, no matter what comes or goes, we will serve the Lord. We will stand fast for the Lord. And Jude was speaking to these people, this church, this New Testament church, and telling them there are those that are trying to creep in, and they're trying to bring the influence of hell. And if you will follow the illustration, they are trying to let a wildfire wreak havoc upon the church. They don't want the fire of the Holy Ghost. They want there to be a wildfire of sinfulness that sweeps through the church, and they want you to be caught up in false and wrong thinking, and they want to let the doctrine of Christ begin to be manipulated and contorted, and they want it to be diminished. But he begins to write to them about the power of standing firm in the truth of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, he talks to them about praying in the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so clearly on an assignment from God to tell us here today as a body of believers that God is looking for men and women that he doesn't have to keep asking permission to take the Bambi bucket and drop it into the recesses of our life and be able to pull something out of us that he might use on behalf of someone else. Are you okay for a minute? Can I preach what I feel for a minute here? He wants to be able to read, Pastor Carson, what are you talking about? The Spirit of God is referenced as living water. He told a woman in Samaria on the well, he said, I've got a gift for you. It's different than this water. It's like living water that would be on the inside of you, that would be flowing. We are not meant to be like barren deserts when we come together in the house of God, that every time we have a service, we're just trying to get refueled. No, it is the will. It is the intent. It is the purpose of God that we be full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit of God, that He might be able to reach into our life and see that there is a need somewhere else. I know that's not your house. I know that's not your family. I know that's not your property, but you've got something that they need, and I need to be able to use you. The Bible speaks of intercession this way. The Spirit itself maketh intercession. There will be groaning and there will be travail. You can't find the words to say, but the Spirit can begin to use you and begin to pour out of you. And I want to tell people that don't even know it, you were prayed into this place. Somebody interceded on your behalf. Thank God that somebody, Brother Norman, got in between me and the fire of hell that was reaching for me. And the truth is, sometimes it's publicly from a platform, but sometimes it's in a good old-fashioned prayer closet where somebody is just an open aquifer. They are just a pool that's available. God, reach into the reserves of the spiritual overflow in my life and let me be used. Used as a vessel. We live in a world that wants blessing like never before, and it has crept into the mentality of the church where every day we want blessed in a new way, and I'm for it. I want you to be blessed. We want uplifted and we want encouraged, and I want you to be uplifted and encouraged. But I'm telling you, the Lord has spoke to me this week and said, in all of your prayers for blessing, I'm looking for an intercessor. And all you're asking to be blessed, I'm looking for a church that will bless. I'm looking for people that can be used in intercession in the last hour. Now, you call me crazy, and I know it's old-fashioned. I recognize this preaching might even feel out of date to some, but I still believe the anointing of God breaks the yoke of bondage, and I still believe that people that will pray in the Spirit can pray things that are not yet seen yet into fulfillment, speaking things that are not yet visible as though they be invisible, as though they be visible. I know it is impossible with man, but people that are full of the Spirit say what is impossible with man is still possible with God. If He wakes you up at midnight and you begin to pray and you begin to intercede, He can take those prayers and carry that intercession, and He can open up the box. He can open up the bucket and He can pour out that fire and He can diminish. What do you want, Lord? I want you to go from always needing prayer to being used in prayer. It is a spiritual maturation process. It is a part when the body. Now listen, I'm not diminishing that we all need prayer. I'm not asking you to be silent about that. But I will tell you, there is a spiritual maturation process where as we grow in Him, the well is meant to increase. We are meant to allow the Spirit of God to fill us so abundantly that it can be used and utilized in time of need. I ask you a question. Please hear me, from the youngest to the oldest in this room. If we as believers are not interceding, who is? If we are not interceding, Aiden, run up here. Run up the steps. I didn't ask you. I'm not asking today. I love it. I love when you wear it. You don't have tennis shoes on, but those are kind of in-betweens. Aiden, here's what I know. Brother Herbst, is this your son? It's not your boy? Brother Herbst, let me ask you a question. I don't know that you've ever taken Aiden out for ice cream. I don't know that you've ever bought Aiden candy. But I guarantee you that if anybody walked in this building and tried to harm Aiden, I know you enough. Brother Herbst, what would you do? I want to know, what would you do if you knew somebody was walking down this aisle coming to harm Aiden? What would your reaction be right now? You knew they were walking down this aisle coming to harm Aiden. In fact, why don't we just do this? Brother Brandon, I'm going to put you on the spot. Brother Brandon, stand up. I want you. You're coming to harm Aiden. You look like you could harm somebody. Come on, come harm Aiden. Brother Herbst, you're pretty reserved. Calm down. This is the posture of the church. Well, Pastor, I can't see it. I'm gonna help you see it right now. We got families under attack. We got marriages under attack. We got children under attack. We got a city under attack. We got a school under attack. We got a daycare under attack. We got public school teachers under attack. We got identity under attack. We got a government under attack. What are we gonna do about it? We gotta get up. We got to rise to our feet and say, use me, God. Use me, God. Use me. The posture of intercession is intentionality. Intentionality. How did Brother Herbs know to get up and run up here? He was listening. Didn't want to be disobedient. So when I said, help me out here, I didn't have to say exactly what to do. I didn't have to say, no, he's going to walk down here. Well, this will be real cute for everybody if you jump up and kind of come up here. You're real tall, just stand in front. I didn't have to give all that. All I had to say was, we're going to put the scenario that he is coming to harm. Now, he would never harm him. But in this illustration, you need to know, for every person that you think would not harm him, human trafficking is at an all-time high. What are we doing about it? Waywardness is at an all-time high. What are we doing about it? You say, well, I don't have the words to speak. Good news, the Holy Ghost does. I don't know what to say. Good news, the Holy Ghost does. And if we will become vessels of intercession, if we will get back to praying and seeking God and letting the Spirit, you cannot convince me otherwise. The Spirit of God can do in one moment what no person can do in a lifetime. The Spirit of God can intervene and intercede. The Spirit of God can send you into a place where you put your arms up and you say you're not getting to Him without... Well, why didn't you call Pastor Lopez? It's his son. Because that's not how intercession works. You can intercede for your kids, but the beauty of the body is it shouldn't have to be just you. I'm not looking at you or your kids to see what they're doing wrong. How can we judge them? I'm looking in prayer and I'm saying, God, you ever been in prayer and all of a sudden, Brother Muse, the Lord begins to put somebody on your heart you haven't even been thinking about them, haven't talked to them in a while. All of a sudden they come in, and the more you pray, we got an elder in this church the other night, 1 a.m. Last week we had a sweet woman in this church, 3 a.m. Why does that happen? I want him to know if he's looking for a vessel, if he's looking for a pool to drop the bucket into, if he's looking for some way. Why are you preaching this so passionately? Because the Holy Ghost has moved on me and told me that if we don't yield in intercession, we're going to miss it. What's the difference between devotion? Are you okay? I'll stop in a moment. What's the difference between devotion and intercession? Devotion is the shoring up of my relationship with God. I read the word because we're in relationship. I spend time with Him conversing. Your devotion can be with a cup of coffee or tea if you're that person. Lord will forgive you for that. Your devotion is just conversation. Brother Brandon, your devotion can be just sitting down and talking. Intercession is different. Intercession is where you get into that war posture. It's where you get into that place. Now, I will tell you, it's hard to be an intercession if you're just trying to stay saved. Someone has to do the interceding for you. This is the maturation. This is the spiritual maturing. Intercession is when you get into that place where all of a sudden the Spirit moves on you. I've been with people when we were leaving the house, and they said, oh, the Spirit's not. Does the Spirit still have veto power over your day and over your night and over your... How many are thankful that somebody fell to their knees in a back room somewhere or at an altar somewhere and were used in intercession on your behalf, on your children's behalf, on your... I've come to tell somebody that thought that you were not able to be used in intercession. As long as you'll get the well full, as long as you'll get full of the Spirit, He can use you for intercession. Yeah, He can use you for intercession. Boy, I felt this right now for your grandchildren. He can use you in intercession for your grandchildren. But He also might take your prayers and carry them all the way to Germany. He might take your intercession and drop it right down into Istanbul. He might take your intercession and put it into some underground church in China. He might take your intercession. I don't know. Wait a minute. How does all that work? The Spirit can do whatever the Spirit wants to do. There might be some missionary down to his last dime right now and doesn't know where it's coming from. And all of a sudden, somebody right here in Indianapolis begins to be used in intercession. And while used in intercession, haven't you ever heard those stories or talked to missionaries or heard the description? I remember a missionary telling me a story about being overseas, and they were overseas, and all of a sudden there was a raid, a group that came up. It would have been like we would call a local gang that was coming to destroy them. He said, I still don't know how that we were able to simply walk through and no one heard us until we found out later that someone from that gang had said, well, when we saw those 24 guys that were with you, only to find out much later at a general conference when a local pastor here in the States was talking to him and say, I got to tell you, there was a few months ago when the Lord laid you on our hearts so strong, I called a men's prayer meeting together. The missionary began listening and telling the story. And as they were conversing and telling the story, the missionary said, what day was that? And who was that? And when they did all the numbers and brought it together, you already put it together. There were 24 guys that were joined in a local assembly. Listen, for anybody that thinks that's far-fetched, you can't receive what I'm preaching today. It doesn't even matter to me. That's okay. But those that understand this, there were 24 people that were standing in the gap. And the Lord sent ministering angels to stand on behalf of a missionary on the other side of the world. I'm telling you, He will do it. And His request is that He wants to use you, and He wants to use me. He wants to use our prayer. He wants to use Calvary. So what does He want to use us for? He wants to use us as vessels that can help put out the fire of the enemy. Not as members that just have to constantly feed, but members that know how to do the feeding. I'm not asking today if you want a platform. I'm asking, do you want a prayer closet? God, what do you want from us? He said, I want people I can use in prayer. I want you to lift your hands with me. I want you to stand all over this room, in fact, and lift your hands. Come on, he's after our homes, the enemy is. I smell smoke just outside some of our marriages. It's just over the hill. I smell smoke. One change of the wind. Ooh. God, save our children, but save their children too. As we begin to pray, some are going to feel burdened for missionaries. Some are going to feel burdened for families that are in this church. Some are going to begin to feel burdened for families that are not in this church. I'm just asking you to yield to the Spirit of God in prayer right now. Just yield. Ooh. I feel the altars opening. I feel the altar area opening, whether you make it in your pew or whether you run to this front. God, if you're looking for someone to use, today's request is not for public speaking. Today's request is not for a new Sunday school teacher. Today, the Holy Ghost is not crying to you for public recognition. The Spirit itself maketh intercession. Come on, the Holy Ghost has the words. Let the groaning, let the travail. Help us, elders. Help us, middle age. Help us, younger generation.